say is exactly what the Holy Ghost wants right here today. And I believe what I'm going to deal with is what He wants to do here today. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm number 12 and to Hebrews chapter 4. Psalm number 12. Psalm 12 and Hebrews 4. I'll read first in Psalm number 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off. All flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Now in chapter number 12 of the book, the book of Hebrews, and verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank Thee for Your divine presence this morning. And Lord of all days, please help Your servant and Your people this hour to be very sensitive to the presence of the Spirit of God. May our hearts today, Lord, be melted in Thy presence, at Thy breath. And may we today, Lord, have our hearts rent in the midst, that we might touch Thee with the feeling of our infirmities. You do that which pleases God today. And help us, I pray, to be humbly obedient and submissive unto Your divine will in every second of this service. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to read verse number 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. Now please, let's read verse number 5 of Psalm chapter number 12. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Amen. Notice what David says there, please, before we really get started in the message. For the oppression of the poor. This is the Lord speaking through David. David, in this psalm, has made his request, verses 1 through 3, or 1 through 4. At verse number 5, the Holy Spirit literally begins to speak. And His message to David is this: for the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise. For we have a great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I don't know how hard I'll preach, how loud I'll shout, how high in the air I'll leap this morning. I don't know how excited and nervous we'll all get. But I want to take these verses this morning and preach for a little while on this thought. reach out and touch Jesus. Just reach out and touch Jesus. Brother Paul said there in Hebrews that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. While I sat this week preparing our men's adult Sunday school class and reading Charles Spurgeon's book on the treasury of David, Psalm number 12, I came to this verse of Scripture in Psalm chapter number 12 and verse 5, where the Lord said there that for the oppression of the poor and the sighing of the needy, that He would now arise. And church, it suddenly occurred to me that God is not moved by our vain repetitions in prayer. God is certainly not stirred necessarily by our audible, loud cries that we might petition Him with. God is not necessarily moved in His soul by our much clamoring and begging and pleading and wallowing in our own self-pity. But it suddenly occurred to me in the basement of my home this week that our very feelings have the ability to touch our God. That's right, our feelings. For we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling or by the feeling of our infirmities. That whole sentence there in the Hebrew, and those words touched and feeling and all, are the same word in the Hebrew. It's one giant, great big word, and it simply means that our Lord has entered into fellow feelings with us. As our great high priest. Not that our feelings suddenly come upon God and overtakes Him and He is suddenly stricken by our feelings to a place that causes Him to arise to our need, but that He lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in a fellow feeling. That is, that He is living our feelings 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year. If I could break that down into our vernacular, that at all times in your life, God feels for you exactly like you are feeling. Whatever it may be, God can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities simply by the mere oppression of the saints of God. However silently that they may bear their oppression, God hears their cry, though they utter not one articulate word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That child of God that is suffering reproaches, or who is suffering anguish of soul, that is being attacked or being by Satan, or going through the fires for the personal reason of purification, that they do not have to moan or beg before God, that their very affliction, though they bear it silently, is felt and touched by God Almighty. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, our problem today is our heart is not where it ought to be. Brother, God is not listening to your words. He's listening for your heart. I'm satisfied that the condition of our heart has a voice that it can express into the throne room of God, and God can hear the very heartbeat of the child of God, though with His lips He says not a word before Almighty God. We have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's right. The needy did not even have to speak
but simply sigh. And I'll come back to that in a moment. Do you know what a sigh is? God said, I've felt your very sigh. He did not say He heard the sigh, but God felt the sigh and realized the condition that your heart was presently living in and what was afflicting you at that very time in your life. God felt that.
What a statement. Our problem is today our hearts are not living where they ought to live for God. We're trying to scream and hoop and holler. I've heard men get down and pray, and I've been guilty of it. Scream and holler to the top of our lungs, and I'm all in for praying out loud. But we scream and beller and hoop and holler to the top of our lungs, thinking that's going to get God's attention. I'm going to tell you right now, that's no more than Phariseeism. God's not interested in how boisterous we are with our lips and how loud we holler. God is interested in the condition of our heart, and He will touch us when our heart is moved within us, ever how small and weak it may be. It'll touch God. It'll touch God. Just a sigh. And it touched Him. Because God looked beyond the sigh and felt the feeling. Or should I rephrase that? God looked beyond the sigh and felt the infirmity that brought about that feeling. You see, every emotion, every feeling that we express in our bosom is there because of something or something that's happened or purposed within our life. That's right. And God can be moved with them. Somebody said, Brother Hall, do you have any scripture for this? You don't need to turn to all these. But I want to give them to you. There's four of them. In Genesis 16, there is a story about Abraham and Sarah. But there's a third person involved there. A woman by the name of Hagar. The Bible said now that Sarah could not conceive a child. And she got bent out of joint and got in a hurry with God because God had not fulfilled His promise. And she told Abraham, said, I'll give you Hagar. Take her in and let her become your wife. There may be a chance that she will provide a child for me. She'll give me a son. And I'll tell you, sure enough, Hagar went into Abraham and conceived a son. He was Ishmael. And as soon as that child was conceived in her womb and Hagar realized that she was with child and Sarah wasn't with child, she began to some degree to provoke Sarah and to mock her. And it disturbed Sarah. It alarmed Sarah. It worried Sarah. I'm sure she felt like Hagar would receive more of Abraham's affection than she would, and that he might love Hagar more than he loved her. And it troubled her to the point. She said, Abraham, your my sin be upon thee. Said, right now make a choice between me and thee. Abraham said, that handmaiden is yours. Whatever you want to do with her, do it to her now. And the Bible said that she dealt very harshly with Hagar. And because of those harsh dealings with Hagar, the Bible said that she fled before the face of her mistress. And I read now, and as she fled, she went and sat down by a fountain of water. I'd say that's a good place for her to be. I'd say that's a wonderful place for her to be. And she sat down by that fountain of water, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, said, what are you doing out here, Hagar? And she said, I'm fleeing from the face of my mistress. And that angel said, you go on back and submit yourself unto her. Because, said, God is going to give you an exceeding great multitude that will come out of your womb. Now, I'm not reading between the lines. I'm reading the Bible now. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, shalt call his name Ishmael,
Now get this, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. It don't say nothing about God seeing her affliction, but God hath heard of her affliction. If you please, my friend, God Almighty's intent ear was listening, and He was able to hear the very the groans of misery in the bosom of that deserted woman. And God responded and sent an angel that He might be attentive unto her affliction that she was living in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Herm, can you imagine the misery of that woman? Can you imagine how grieved she was in her heart? There she had was a servant. She was a slave, if you please. Had no choice in the matter but to go in and conceive a child by Abraham. And as soon as that baby was conceived, Abraham and Sarah booted her out of the house. And now she's found herself out in the wilderness, forsaken. You ever feel that way? Feel like you're forsaken and nobody else in the world loves you? I want to say to you that God can be touched with the feeling of your infirmity when you feel like you're wicked, like you're forsaken and lost. Deserted. Nobody cares. Nobody loves me. That's right. I've been kicked out of the house where I'd have no place to turn. Nobody to turn to. Don't have anybody to take care of me, provide for me. I'll surely starve to death out in the wilderness. You ever feel that way? Forsaken? You ever feel deserted? You ever feel left alone? Can you imagine the misery and the grief and the agony of that woman's soul? And I'm telling you, friend, she didn't have to pray a word. She didn't say a word, pray a prayer. But I'm telling you, God Almighty heard the affliction of her soul. That's right. And came to where she was and delivered Hagar. Now, these is illustrations. I've not got to my thoughts yet. These is illustrations. I think of another person. Man by the name of Moses had done all God had told him to do. He had went down into to the land of Egypt. He had confronted Pharaoh. He had brought out those Jews, brought them to the very departure of Egypt from across the Red Sea. Now Pharaoh is behind him. He's encompassed. There's no place for him to turn, and his own people now have turned against him, and they're crying. Hey, do you ever feel hated by everybody? I'm sure that when Moses stood at the Red Sea and looked back and saw Pharaoh and forward and saw the Red Sea, he thought, and the people murmured and dropping and complaining, that he felt alone and he felt deserted and he felt afflicted like nobody at all cared, not even God. And I want to say to you, friend, that the Bible does not say that Moses slipped off and fasted and prayed for 40 days. It don't say that he got down on his knees and began to pray and cry out to God. In fact, the Bible says, as far as I'm concerned, you can't find anywhere in the account where Moses ever said a word. But I'm going to tell you what God said to him. God said, "Wherefore, Moses, cryest thou unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Moses somehow, some way, in his heart groaned to God. And God heard the groanings and the moanings of his soul without ever saying a word, and parted the water and gave him deliverance. Now I'm telling you, friend, what God done for him, God will do for you. You better know that's right. Son, God's never forsaken one of His children. No, sir. He's never deserted one of His own at any time. But God heard the cries of Moses and parted the waters and led him across on dry ground. He saw the waters close and Pharaoh's army drowned in the midst of the sea. Now I think of another man. I think of our man David in the text that I just read. As I sat there in my basement and read that verse and begin to read after Charles Spurgeon. And I tell you, my heart was overwhelmed. I suddenly realized I've been praying for some of you. And I've been that God had helped undergird and help you, and I've been concerned about, been a praying for the radio station about the finances of the ministry, and a praying for some of you that I know's in valleys, and that your hearts are broken, and there's troubles in your life and heartaches that you just can't seem to get the victory over. And I'm telling you, as I sit there, I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray anymore, what to say anymore. I've said everything that I know how to say, and it seemed like the Holy Ghost said, then just be still and know that I am the Lord. For God Almighty knows the feeling of your infirmities, and they've already touched the bosom of Almighty God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, God said the groans will always come before the words. And said, long before you spoke a word, I was touched. Woo! Long before you uttered a word, I was touched. You see, it's our groans and our moans and our misery that prompts us to pray. And sometimes we get the idea that God never hears until we begin to utter those words. But God said, I can be touched. You've got a great high priest that can be touched with the very feeling of your infirmities. When you're broken, like Hannah was. Amen. And when you deserted, like Hagar was. And when you're caught between a rock and a hard spot, like Moses was. And when you see the desolation of a godly man, like David was. And cry to God, he said, I've already heard the groanings of your heart. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm liking it, and I'm going to like it more when I get into the message. And then I think of one more. I think of one more illustration. Hallelujah to God. There was a woman. There was a woman named Mary. In chapter number 7 of the book of Luke. A man by the name of Simon had invited the Lord. And I told you, I don't care if we jump no pews. I'm going to tell you what I want you to get. I want you to get the truth like I got it. I want God to drive it in your heart like He drove it in mine in the basement of that house, buddy. He'll do that. That's right. Hey, church, that's why we're not having revival. That's why we don't have the power of God. That's why we don't have the presence of God. That's why we don't have victory. That's why we don't have blessings. It doesn't have a thing to do hardly. Well, it does, but I want to say, I'm going to go ahead and say, it doesn't have altogether to do with how we're living, what we're doing. It has to deal with the condition of our heart before God. When our heart's broken, God loveth a broken and a contrite spirit. He will not despise, brethren. Amen. That's our problem today. That's why revival tarries. No brokenness, no tears, no weeping, no crying, no sighing. We've got everything that we feel like we need. We're rich. We're going to eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow, we're all going to fly away to heaven just in the nick of time. Why should our heart break? We got everything that we need, son. We're living in wealth. Steve said this morning, oh, I never said a thing. Brother Steve said this morning, he said, I don't. We was talking about the wealth and one thing, and he said, I don't have the economy. He said, I don't have a problem with a man having 5 automobiles as long as he's been faithful to God with his money. I don't know any man can have 5 automobiles and have been faithful. Amen. I don't know any man needs 5 automobiles. Amen. I'm going to tell you where the unfaithfulness come in. Think what God could have done with those other 3 or 4 automobiles if He'd given them to God. Amen. See, it's a heart problem. It is a heart problem, brethren. I tell you why we don't have the presence of God like Hagar did. Why God don't come down and visit us like Hagar and open the waters like He did for Moses. Amen. And suppress the wicked like He did for David is because our heart is not right with God. And that Jesus went to Simon's house, and a little old lady, a little old woman, Bible said she is a sinner, followed Him into the house and stood behind Him. Apparently they laid down in those days. And as she stood there, she began to weep. And her tears fell down on the feet of Jesus, and she began to wipe His feet with the hair of her head. And she had an alabaster box on it. And she broke that alabaster box and anointed His feet with that sweet alabaster and began to kiss His feet with her lips and to wipe His feet with the hairs of her head. Oh, our God's are going to help me right here, I believe.
Oh, Simon, look here, look here. Simon said in his heart, he said, this man's not a prophet, for if he was, he'd have known what kind of a woman this was. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he said, say on, good master. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus sitting in the midst, there is two, and he read both of their hearts without them ever saying a word. He knew the very thoughts that entered into the mind of Simon, the Pharisee. That's right. Simon didn't audibly say those, but I'm telling you, the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword bore down into the deep recesses of Simon's heart and discerned the very thoughts and intents of his mind without him ever uttering a word. Bless your heart. But I'm going to tell you the blessing of it all. He said, Simon, since I come in here, said, you didn't wash my feet, you didn't give me no water. Didn't wash my feet and said, you've not done a thing. And said, this woman, ever since I've been here, she's not ceased to wash my feet with the tears from her face and to wipe them with the hairs of her eyes. And said, you hadn't done a thing. Now look here, and here's the blessing. And so he said, woman, be of good cheer. He said, thy faith hath saved thee.
Yes.
I like it. Everybody hear me now. Somebody said, well, what happened to that woman? I'm going to tell you what happened to her. She got born again. She got saved that day. Oh yeah, the Holy Ghost of God came down, came in, filled her and blessed her and sealed her into the day of redemption. She got saved by the grace of God. Somebody said, how can that be? I didn't even hear the sinner's prayer. Now, if you'll repeat this prayer, why didn't Jesus been around and say, now, Mary, if you'll repeat this prayer after me, you can be saved. I'm going to tell you why. Because those tears, buddy, have a voice of their own. Oh, hey, a tear don't amount to much down here, but it's got a voice of its own that's able to break the heart of Almighty God. And I'm going to say tears are not a pleasant thing, but God's a putting them in bottles, buddy. They must be something precious to Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. It wasn't her words that saved her. It was her heart and how she felt before God Almighty that saved her. God knew she is a sinner. Knew she is helpless. Knew she was wicked. Knew she had to have help. And without ever saying a word, He was touched with a feeling of her infirmities. Just her tears. Just her tears. Look here, son, tears are not loud, but they've got a real voice that can be heard. Amen. Groanings are real quiet, but groanings are some of the best praying you'll ever do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sighing is even a less thing, but I'm telling you, just the sigh brought God's attention to where He girded on His sword and came down to deliver the oppression of the people of God. I'd say this, looking's even less than that, but all it took was a look from Jonah to get God's attention. Just a look. Just a look.
Right.
Just a look, brethren. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we have a great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Be of good cheer. Brokenhearted. Grieving one. Weeping one. Sighing one. Crying one. Groaning one. Be of good cheer. He has been touched already with the feeling of your infirmities. He's been moved. He's been touched by those feelings. Tears will make no great noise, yet they have a voice. They're not a very pleasant thing, yet God puts them in a bottle. A groan is a poor thing, yet it is the best part of the prayer. A sigh is even less than yet, and yet God Almighty is awakened. He's awakened. God is awakened by... He woke up when his servant just... Jesus said, that's it! Don't you wish every mom and daddy on earth had that kind of sensitivity toward their own children? That's how sensitive He is toward you and I. That's right, son. His ear is ever open to the very breathings of our soul. Oh, what a God. I am elated. What love. I could say this. I could say that and manifest His love. Oh, that God loved the world and gave Himself for it. Not only His love, but God's a listening. Hallelujah to God. He's a loving and He's a listening and He's a looking to you and I. Amen. Now my message, and I'll tell you, it's very feeble and weak. But here's what God's given me. I don't have any sub-points. I got 3 points and don't have a sub-point under none of them. But I believe it's what God gave me for this morning. And I believe it's what we need, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Can I say number one? Now, this is deep theology. You're really going to have to study to get this now and meditate on it. If He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, then let me say number one, that He can be reached. Think on it a while, brethren. He can be reached. Reach out and touch Him. If He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, I have never seen anybody yet that I could touch that wasn't close enough for me to reach Him.
Right. Right.
He can be touched. So why don't you reach out this morning and touch Jesus? I just read in my Bible again this morning of a little old woman, of a little old woman in the Bible that in Matthew chapter number 9, that little old woman had an issue of blood. She had spent everything that she had on physicians and had grown worse and worse and worse. Had gotten no better, but it continued to get worse. That's some of y'all's position in life in here right now. You've done all you can do, but you ain't getting a bit better. You're getting worse every minute. Why don't you reach out and touch Jesus? Son, you've tried the doctors, doctor bottle stopper. We've tried doctors and herbs and this and that. Why don't we try Him for a change? He can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Are you hearing me? Reach out and touch Him. That little old woman had spent everything she had and got no better, but got worse and worse and worse. That's where some of you are living today. You're in worse shape now than you ever will have been. Why don't you reach out and touch Him? Why don't you reach out and touch Him? Oh, here's what some would say. Preacher Hall, there's so many hindrances, so many obstacles in the way, that I find it hard to get to Jesus. I find it hard to touch Him. There's so many adversaries between me and Him. And it's a rough and rocky way. And I don't know if I've got the perseverance and the stamina that it takes for me to reach out and touch Him. May I say to you that there was a throng of people. Son, there was a crowd of people surrounding the Lord. But it did not hinder that little woman with an issue of blood. She realized, son, that He was her, and He was her only hope. And she got on her hands and knees and clawed and clamored and through the crowd until she could reach out and touch His garment. And the Bible said that she knew that if she could just touch His garment, she'd be made whole. I'm telling you right now, all you got to do is touch Him. And you too, if you can just touch Him. Reach out and touch Him. Reach out and touch Him. He'll make you whole. Get through the crowd. Crawl through the crowd. That's right. Don't worry about the throng. Don't worry about the hindrances. Don't put your eyes on the hindrances. And look here. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, surely Jesus heard her. No. Jesus stopped. And he said, who touched me? That's right. And Simon Peter spoke up and said, Lord, said, such a crowd as this, and you want to know who touched you? He said, well, the crowd's a-thronging you. And Jesus said, yeah, but somebody did touch me. Because I felt the virtue go out of me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You'll never touch Jesus. That it will go unnoticed. That's right. And you'll never, and that woman never uttered a word. Not one word. But somewhere back yonder in her heart, she said in her heart, if I can just, and that's right, she said in her heart, if I can just touch Him. I'm going to read part of it. For the woman said, and I'm reading in verse 21, for the woman said within herself, not one time did you audibly pray, she said within herself, if I can just touch Him, I know I'll be made whole. And I'm telling you, when she thought that thought, God heard the affliction, heard her heart's cry from her infirmity, and God stood still that little woman with a blood issue might touch Him. And then He said, who touched me? Who touched me? But I felt virtue go out of me. You hear me well. Look here. You touch Him, He'll know you touch Him. Amen. He'll stand. That's right.
He'll have no problem knowing that he's been touched, because of birth. That virtue means power. That if you can just touch him, that power just automatically, whoa, whoa, whoa. Somebody said, I want the power of God. Touch him! I'm going to tell you how Jacob got the power of God, had power with God and with men. He touched him! He touched him! Had just God. He had his touch on him all night long. Woo! Touch him and don't let go! Bless your heart. He can hear the cry of your heart this morning. You just touch him. Just touch him. Just touch him. That power. Oh, we want the power of God. Just touch him. Ain't that right, Jerome? I'll guarantee that some of you in here don't know what it is to touch him. You want help and don't know how to get help. You've tried every doctor. You've tried everything. And when I say doctors, I'm going to say you've tried Reformation. You've tried joining the church, and you've tried Reformation. You've tried it in baptism. You've tried it in doing good. You've tried to find relief everywhere you can find relief. But I'm going to tell you, you'll find it when you go to Dr. Jesus. Oh, yes. He can be touched. May I say to you that living proof on every example in here and every illustration I use is living proof of that. For no doubt about it that Hagar touched him. Her affliction. He heard her affliction. That affliction touched her. Touched him. Moses crying touched him. Oh yes, David sighing touched him. No doubt about it, Mary's weeping touched him. Oh yes, Jonah's look touched him. I'm telling you, he can be touched. What a blessing. He can be touched. I want everybody to look up here. You say, Brother Hall, you ain't preaching much this morning. I'm preaching more than you can get a hold of. I'll guarantee you on that. The woman, now listen here. I like this. And I've already alluded to it. But let me say, if he can be touched, he's close by. Now, I don't want to get ahead of my preacher. But when I walked to this microphone this morning, say I'm going back to the service. I've wrestled with this. I told myself and the Lord, Lord, this is so weak and it's not even my style of preaching. And I'll feel like an idiot standing up in front of our people trying to bring something that's simple and weak. Look here. Here's what I said in my prayer to God. I said, Lord, I said, hey, how can I stand and try to convey to our people that you can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities when I'm not even sure if my infirmities touched you yet? Here was the Lord's reply. I want to touch all of you. Oh, Lord, I don't understand what you're getting at. But you hear me well. Sitting right on that pew when Chris and Pam was a-singing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Yep. As sure as I'm living, standing where I'm standing today, the sweet Holy Ghost of God said, I am hovering above. What are you talking about, Brother Hall? I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about God moving upon the hearts with His sympathy, sympathizing with the weeping, sympathizing with the broken, sympathizing with the hurting, sympathizing with the sighing, sympathizing with the crying. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? God wants to prepare our hearts for the presence of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants to prepare our hearts, and a perfect heart before God is a broken, contrite heart before Him that can instantaneously, through its affliction, touch the hem of His garment, that the Holy Ghost might descend on a congregation of people and do a work in our heart to bring glory to Him, blessing to us, and revival across our land. Is there a church that dares set themselves aside unto God and weep and pray and seek His face until their heart is melted like wax in the midst, that God Almighty might take them as soft and pliable as their heart is, and shape and mold their heart into the image of Christ and perfect them into the image of God, that they might be used of Him in a lost and dying world to reach lost sinners for Christ. I say, are we that church? We've laughed. We have laughed, Brother Doug, about old Brother Elliot Smith, and we've joked for an Elliot said, God is hovering above. And we've laughed at, oh, Willie, Willie, have you come at last, Willie, Willie? But I say to you on the authority of that Bible and the presence of the Holy Ghost, and what God's led me to say in this assembly this morning, brethren, that we better get sensitive to God because He's coming. He's coming. He's coming to Island Ford Baptist Church. Oh, yes, and I'll tell you what will arrest His attention. Our weeping, our sighing. Somebody said, you've already said that. I want God to drive it into your soul. That's why I never got excited this morning when we wasn't shouting, oh, brethren. I could sense the sweet presence of the Holy One of Israel as He breathed in my soul this morning. And I knew that our sighs had reached heaven's door and that He had rent the heavens. Look here. Sometimes He opens the window. That is a deliberate act. He opens the window and pours out a blessing that there'll not be room to receive it all. And in doing so, He takes His time and gently raises the window. But when God rends the heavens, He's in haste. He's in speed. Son, He's tarrying not. He's made a way, and revival comes, my friend, when God rends the heavens in haste. Seeing His people in affliction and oppression, living under the hardships of the society and the oppression of the devil, He rends the heavens and comes down with such fire and fury that the mountains, that is, the mountains are always a type of governmental power, that the governmental powers of this land will melt under the feet of God. Somebody said, will He do it? Yes. Not only will He do it, God's going to do it. He's either going to do it now or do it at the millennial reign. I don't know which, but He's going to do it. Amen. You believe that, brethren? Amen. He's not far. If He can be reached, He's close by. Amen. Somebody said, you have Scripture for that. I'm glad you asked. You don't believe I'd be so foolish to make a statement like that without text? Acts chapter number 17. Paul's in the midst of Mars Hill. He said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. That's verse 22. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody look right up here at me. Those folks in Athens had erected, they had erected, my friend, an altar or a devotion or literally an altar to every god they could possibly think of. And when they couldn't think of no more, they said, surely there's one that we don't know. We'll just build an altar to Him too. You know why? They wanted to touch Him. They knew they had to get to God. Are you here? I would to God here. Let me get in my soul, what's in my soul, out of my mouth. I'm telling you, friend, that God Almighty, yes! Son, God wants us. Oh, yes! We ought to thirst after God and hunger after God. That's right. Amen. I'm trying to get it out. God knows my heart. I'm trying to get it out. They knew they had to have God. They needed God. I'm telling you, we've got to have Him. How I want Him or I die. I'm like John Knox. John Knox said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. God, give me the power of the Holy Ghost or I die.
I don't want to live no longer without it. I'd rather go on to heaven and not have the power of God in my life. I've gone too far to turn back now. I've set my affection on things above. I refuse to give up, lay down, quit on God. I'll continue seeking God Almighty until I'm totally consumed by the brightness of His coming.
I want Him to consume me. Consume me, O God. Thou fire of heaven, consume me today. Come up on me and consume me, for I am thine and thou art mine. Consume me, O God, consume me. They built an altar to every god they could think of. And then when they couldn't think of no more, they built one to the unknown God. You know why they wanted Him? Moses and Paul said, hey, that God that you ignorantly worship. He said, I'm going to tell you who He is. He said, He's a God that made the world and all things therein. Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, He dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything. Seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Here is the verse I want you to get. And if you don't have your Bible open to there, you ought to open it and underline this verse in your Bible. It's chapter number 22 and verse number 17, or verse number 27. He said that they should seek the Lord. Amen. God, Paul said that they should seek the Lord. And look here. If haply they might, look here now, they might feel after Him. We have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with what but how? The feeling of our infirmities, that they might feel after Him with what? Feel after Him with what? Our infirmities. Feel after God with your sighing. Feel after God with your crying. Feel after God with your weeping. Feel after God with your moaning and your groaning. Feel after God.
Yeah.
Blessed happily. Is that what it says? Did I read between the lines? Does that not say that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him? What are you going to feel Him with? No! God! Under the load, the afflictions that it carries. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't understand why we're going through everything at the church. Our families are sick. Some are depressed. Some are discouraged. Some just hurting. Some, hey, I'm going to tell you why. Are you listening? I'll tell you why. God's trying to crush our hearts that we might feel after Him. That we might seek Him and feel after Him. And that we might find Him. Hallelujah to God. And here's the scripture. My point is, that He's close by. And here's what Paul says to that crowd that's looking for God in verse number 27. Though He be not far from every one of us. Where's He at? Look up here. Us poor benighted Baptist. He steps on the pew beside of you. He is within arm's reach of you. Do you need God today? Are you under a load of doubt about your salvation? Reach out and touch Him! He's within arm's length. Are you discouraged at some affliction in your life? Reach out and touch Him! With your grief, He is at arm's length. Are you plighted with financial reverse? Are you discouraged because of problems in your life, in your marriage, in your home? What a... Hey! Feel Him. Reach out with your heart. Reach out with your soul. What does the Bible say? That we'll find Him when we search with what? Heart. What's He saying about being saved in the book of Romans chapter number 10? Confess with our mouth and believe in the heart. How's your heart today? David said, the Lord said, I've heard it, David.
Now I felt it.
Hannah dropped on her face and began to... Eli said, get up, you drunken wench. She said, oh, I'm not drunk. I'm not a daughter of Belial. I'm not drunken. But I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And I'm telling you, friend, that although she said not a word, God felt the heart throb of that woman without a child. He felt that throb. She wept, God, in her soul, please fill my womb with a man child. I'll praise you. I'll give him to you and praise you for an eternity. God felt the throbbing of her heart, the misery of her soul, the agony of her life. I'm trying to give you my soul today, church. And I'm doing it because God is hovering above. Brother Elliot called the other night. He said, preacher, are you still praying for revival? I said, yay, my brother, yay. He said, we're trusting God to move no later than the October meeting for revival in Madisonville. Oh, church, maybe your godly sorrow that you're experiencing and the heaviness that you carry and the doubts and the grief that some of you live in. Maybe God is just, for no other reason, preparing your heart for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody said, you sound like a charismatic, Brother Hall. I don't give a flip what I sound like. We need God. Souls need God. No, we want. I want to live, eat, drink, and enjoy. Let us do it then. Yeah, if our souls stand on the threshold of hell itself and plummet in to a Christless eternity with no hope. Benny, stand up and read the verse of Scripture you gave me last night. Please, read it. I want everybody to hear it. Those by the radio land too. Benny had no idea what I was preaching on this morning. I want you to read it and tell them what God said.
The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael come unto him, and saith to him, behold, an Israelite, indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these.
Thou shalt what, Benny?
See greater things than these.
Say that one more time.
Thou shalt see greater things than these.
Say it one more time.
Thou shalt see greater things than these.
Now tell him what God said to your heart when you read that.
We've seen a lot of good things here at the church, a lot of movements of God, a lot of people getting right, a lot of true fruits of what might be revival. And God spoke to my heart and said, thou shalt see greater things than these.
God. Like an eagle that hovers over her nest, God is hovering above. I say, bear up under the load, children, help's on the way. You that are broken and grieved and living in misery and agony, help is on the way. Some said, why hath God not heard? He has. Already God's heard.
The moment you begin to weep, the first sigh that came from your soul, God heard. And without delay, it arrested the attention of God. But there's a time for every season, and God knows what He's doing, brethren. God knows what He's doing, and in God's timing, like a mighty conqueror, He will arise. Without measure. Call me what you want. Without measure, He will pour the blessed gift of the Holy Ghost out upon this little handful of people without measure. Somebody said, Brother Hall, it won't come into the rapture. Then so be it. If it does, then my prophecy shall be come true. Now, we have a great high priest who can be touched with any of our infirmities. He can be reached, number one. He's close by, number two. And I didn't get this out of a book now. I told you this ain't even my way of preaching. But get this. Not only can He be reached, not only is He close by, but He cures when He is reached. He cures. He heals. He's in the final analysis. He'll wipe away all tears from our eyes. He cures. By His stripes we're healed. Have you touched Him? Have you touched Him? Somebody said I'm still sick, Brother Hall. I've touched Him. I've sighed. I've cried. I've wept. I've moaned. And surely, according to your message, that I have touched Him, then why is the delay? Maybe the antidote hasn't taken effect yet. Or maybe it hasn't been administered yet. But brethren, He didn't say in Hebrews 4 that He would heal us immediately. He said that we had a great high priest who could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He did not say when he would heal, when He would cure. But He just said He would. Somebody said, Brother Hall, do you have text for that? I'm glad you asked. And Brother Ray, I see you smiling. This verse of Scripture has been so misinterpreted for so long. I've heard it. Let me put it like this. Not misinterpreted. But the emphasis has been put in the wrong place on what I'm getting ready to read. I want you to read it with me. Will you do that in Luke chapter number 7? Let's read it, verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that He went into a city called Nain, and many of His disciples went with Him. And much people. Now when He came nigh unto the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And He came and touched the bier. And they that bare Him stood still. And He said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And He delivered him to his mother. Everybody look right up here. Oh, how often, Brother Jerry, do we put the emphasis here on the boy that was raised from the dead? I've never heard it preached anything about the mama. Not one time. But may I say to you that the compassion here was not on the dead man. No less than 8 times in the verses that I read you, the Holy Ghost has put there words, nouns, and names that apply to the woman. For instance, in verse number 12, mother, she, widow, her,
Verse 13, her. Verse 15, mother. Did you get a hold of that?
Right.
Hey, it never anywhere says that God took compassion on that dead man and saved him and raised him up. Brethren, I'm not reading between the verses. Verse 13 said, and when the Lord saw her and had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. If he said weep not, apparently she was weeping. And everybody listen carefully. There's no indication in the text that she ever said one word. But as they entered into the city, her tears arrested the heart of the Son of God when he saw that woman broken and miserable and grieved over the loss of that boy. You hear me well? In death, those that are left suffer the most, not those that have gone on.
Amen.
I've often thought that when a loved one dies, that those that are left behind are those that suffer the most. Hey, had Jesus not raised him, and it's got a spiritual application, but this young man, there's nothing to indicate he was lost. There's a lot of people I would come near to believing the boy was saved. But God raised him up, not for his sake, but for mother's sake. We have a high priest, brethren, that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. She wasn't somewhere out on an old log calling out to God. She wasn't fasting and praying, although I'm not against that. I think we should. I'm going to tell you what that mama was doing. She was very quietly and reverently and very broken as she walked along behind that bier. And I'm sure if I can paraphrase for you, as Jesus walked into the city, he may have stopped just for a moment. He may have been 2 miles from her. And as he stopped, I can hear him say these words to his disciples. Just a minute, children. I hear the sobbing of a broken-hearted mother. And I'm satisfied, big mouth Peter said, Lord, there's nobody around. Your much study doth make thee mad. You couldn't possibly be here. There's no one around. It's not Bartholomew. And it's not James and John. It's not Simon. Lord, surely you're mistaken. Lord, there's nobody here crying. The Lord said, there's no mistake. I hear the sobs of a broken-hearted mama as she's fixing to lay her only boy in the grave. And my heart is moved with compassion for her. I wonder this morning if we could weep as this widow did over some mama's son that's on the threshold of dying and going to hell. Did to rest his attention enough that he would come on down just a little closer. He's hovering above. He'd just come a little closer. Somebody said, how can that be, Brother Hall? Draw nigh to God.
Amen.
He will draw nigh to thee. Reach out to touch him, and I'll guarantee you he'll draw close enough for you to get the job done. And when you touch, cure's on the way.
Amen.
David sighed. Hagar was afflicted and God heard the affliction. Moses cried. Mary in Simon's house wept. This little widow woman just wept. And Jesus was touched. Look here. I could go on and on. What about at the graveside? What about the graveside of Lazarus?
When the Bible said in that one little verse, I believe 35, the shortest verse in all the Bible, Jesus wept. You wonder why He wept? It wasn't for Lazarus. He saw Mary and Martha, whom He loved, weeping. His heart was moved. He can be touched. Now let me ask you in closing. Your infirmity, whatever it may be, you've sighed over it, you've cried over it, you've wept. Can I say to you this morning, don't stop. And it won't stop. Nay, indeed, it cannot stop. Hear what I said? It cannot stop until you touch Him. But rest in the great truth that He has been touched.
Amen.
And He's felt it. And He's entered in to that fellow feeling with you. And He, at the present time, is feeling, are you hearing me? He feels exactly like you feel for the situation you're in. That's Jesus. What a Savior. Oh, lover of my soul. Breathe on this little crowd of people today, God. And melt our hearts as wax within us, that we might touch You. Let's stand together, please. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed.